Welcome to Mythic Imagination. Hi, I'm Honora Foa. In tonight's podcast, we'll talk about Mythic Journeys, the conference and performance festival we're putting on in Atlanta on June 7th through the 11th in 2006 at the Hyatt Regency. Our goal is to create a community, critical mass, that ignites a fire to warm our world. The program for Mythic Journeys is a tour de force. How can you go wrong with 70 or 80 of the world's most accomplished, engaged, erudite, funny, and wise people crammed into one room? And that's the presenters and performers. What we found out at the last Mythic Journeys is that the people who attend are also brilliant, funny, engaged, beautiful, and wise. And we've also all made dumb mistakes, we're all hurting, and we're all in the boat. So let's just row. When the night is long and you're lying in bed, you can't sleep. When your kid is in the emergency room, when you've looked at one email too many, and you're bleary-eyed and you can't understand what you're doing in that office, there are questions that bubble into consciousness that we and the world have often worked hard to push away. Why does the world look the way it does? Has it always been like this? Can anybody help? Can I help? How is my life? Where is my place? Is there something more? At Mythic Journeys, we like to party. There's dancing, there's music, there's wine, there's jokes. But along with that, the community that has been forming and that we welcome you to be a part of is a community where we have stopped pretending that these questions don't matter or that we don't care about them. At Mythic Journeys, we're going at these questions, and we're going at them with the strength that comes from having a line into the reservoir of wisdom that has been collecting since people first started talking, and therefore started telling stories. What people know about why is the world like this, and how is my life, and is there more, is encoded in myth, and in stories, and in images, and in an understanding of archetypes. Connecting to that world gives us the nourishment to understand our world in our time as it is now and to imagine our way into the emerging world. So, what are we talking about here? Mythic Journeys is a conference and performance festival that includes the finest minds in psychology, religion, science, literature, education, entertainment, and the arts. It's a one-of-a-kind moment in time. Every 2 years, a diverse group of people convenes to share their findings, insights, and feelings regarding the myths, stories, and archetypes that leave their imprint on our lives as they shape our inner and outer landscapes. Mythic Journeys is a gathering of people from different disciplines, jobs, cultures, politics, who gather to explore the wisdom and the guidance and the pain and the joy that is encoded in those myths and stories and rituals. On June 7th through the 11th, award-winning poets, Fortune 500 presidents, entertainment industry insiders, and political think tank members present and converse with scholars, artists, farmers, writers, lawyers, and musicians. You may be thinking, why do they do this? We do this because human beings need story to uncover and experience deeper meaning. We will tell these universal stories in dance, music, and theater, in soft voices, loud voices, powerful voices, voices full of gladness. We'll talk, we'll sing, we'll laugh, we'll ponder, we'll dance. If this sounds good to you, if this sounds intriguing to you, and if this sounds unlikely to you, you are invited. We have a truly amazing list of presenters and performers. We have a truly amazing list of presenters and performers. They include David Abram, Chung Liang Al Huang, David Anderson, the Arcadream Troupe, poet Coleman Barks, Peter Beagle, Jean Shinoda Bolin, the Conflict Case Resolution Crew, Julia Tsetse Chingamba, Deepak Chopra, writer Charles DeLint, Jeff Dunn, Akiwa, Emerald Rose, Michael Fitzpatrick, James Flannery, and Betty Sue Flowers, Brian Froud, Lauren Hollander, Sharif Horthy, Christopher Klaus, Ellen Kushner, Catlin and John Matthews, Michael Mead, Gertrude Mueller Nelson, Rabbi Yossi Nu, Robert Sardello, Saban Fusome, David Spangler, Robert Swan, Tom Blue Wolf, and Robert Walter. Some of these performers may be new to you, while others may be well known. There are many, many more. Please visit mythicjourneys.org to learn more about the stellar work these men and women are doing in our world. To give you a feel for the event, here's the big picture. Mythic Journeys will be presented in two segments. We'll begin on Wednesday, June 7th, with a small pre-conference called Mythic Journeys in Depth. In this segment, approximately 200 attendees will have the opportunity to meet and interact with our presenters in an intimate and engaging environment. In-depth also includes all meals, along with a truly amazing banquet and a very special presentation by the Joseph Campbell Foundation. Our main conference opens to a larger audience on Friday, June 9th. And Friday also will be the start of our education conference. It's designed for teachers and others interested in how myth and stories can come alive in the classroom. CEUs are available. To give you a sense of what to expect each day, let's walk through what we call the rhythm of the day. On Wednesday, June 7th, our opening ceremony begins at 7 p.m. You'll hear and see Tom Blue Wolf and Gail Ross as they set the stage for our event with invitations, invocations, and stories about transformation and transition. In the midst of a stunning landscape created by artists Michael Green and Stu Jenks, we'll share wine, music, and something to munch as we start getting acquainted. There'll be musical performances throughout the night, and then we'll hit the pillow to have exciting dreams about our next day's adventures. Thursday is Earth Day, June 8th. We'll start with what we call early bird sessions, with movement, yoga, tai chi, dance, or dream sharing. At 9, we all gather for the big story. Our first presentation will be a one-man show by Charlie Bethel of the Epic of Gilgamesh. Here's a snapshot of Charlie's amazing show. At the opening of Western civilization in Sumeria, that's Iraq, the human heart's ambition, desires, grief, furies, and loves were being newly minted. Both the sense of being very close and very distant from those people and those times make this a gripping and foundational story. And it's just such a great yarn. So good, in fact, that we've been telling the Epic of Gilgamesh for about 10,000 years. At 11, we begin breakout sessions. For the in-depth portion of the conference, these sessions will be small and lean toward hands-on experiences. We've got workshops on the themes and the psychology in the Gilgamesh story. There'll be mask making with artists Brian and Wendy Froud. And then there's Dreaming the Wheel with Tom Blue Wolf. At 12:30, all of the attendees, presenters, and performers will have lunch together. It's one of the most relaxed parts of the day and perfect for informal conversation. 2 p.m., we'll have the big conversations. These are interdisciplinary dialogues where conversationalists bring to bear wisdom and knowledge of archetype, narrative, and soul work. They share their life experience in business, system design, art, science, agriculture, what have you, to help illuminate on both personal and cultural levels where we are, where we have been, and how we might imagine our way forward. One of our topics is the ecology of money. The words economy and ecology both come from the Greek root word oikos, which means house. So what have we done to our house, and is economy and ecology the same thing? Conversationalists include Michael Benelli, Jeff Dunn, Betty Sue Flowers, and Robert Sardello. Another topic is into the woods. In myth and fairy tale, the woods serve as a transformative place outside of ordinary society where we can become lost or we can become found. Conversationalists include Midori Snyder, David Spangler, Tom Blue Wolf, and Gertrude Mueller Nelson. Another topic is rites of passage, the path not taken. This conversation is about what happens when we ignore initiation into adulthood. The conversationalists include Jean Shinoda Bolen, Alan Pittman, Michael Mead, and Sheryl Sanders. At 4 p.m., we'll have more breakouts, including Chung Liang Al Huang on the body, and love and sexuality in the works of W.B. Yeats. After that, it's time to get ready for a great evening of dining, stories, and women. At 7 p.m., it's the Mothers of Myth with Jean Shinoda Bolen, Julia Tsetse Chingamba, Carolyn Dunn, Gail Ross, and Sibon Fusome. We'll dine together and hear stories about and from the mother. The festivities will continue with the Joseph Campbell Foundation Award. This year, the first Erdman Campbell Prize will be given at Mythic Journeys in tribute to a person who has significantly changed the mythology of our time. The award is a surprise, so be there when the cat's let out of the bag. At 9 p.m., performances continue with singer Sherry Kling. She wrote The Train to Metaphor. Then it's a trio of acoustic singers not afraid to sing about any topic, the Three Weird Sisters. If that's not enough to get your blood stirred, we'll feature a theatrical performance by Arcadream called Balance. It's a new play about initiation. It's done with masks, shadow puppets, and music. And does it stop there? No, it doesn't. Music flows into the night. And if you're up until dawn, Friday, Air Day, begins with early bird sessions of movement and dream sharing. Then at 9 a.m., it's the big story, this time Vita Merlini. In this presentation, Caitlin and John Matthews, along with William Todd Jones, tell the tale of Merlin in his grief, outrage, and madness. The story is for all of us as we encounter our own grief and madness. It's told with singing and with music. At 11, it's more breakouts, and then time for lunch. At 2 p.m., we start again with the big conversations. Friday's topics include what the soul looks like, images and imagination. Art aims at things unseen by paradoxically depicting them. How is that? What is the imagination? And what has it got to do with soul? Conversationalists include Robert Sardello, David Anderson, David Spangler, and Steve Eisenstadt. Another topic on Friday is called Whispering into the Ear, Music as Message. The Latin root for inspiration means to breathe into, which also hints at the intimate way in which music can move us. The conversationalists include musicians all, David Gonzalez, Midori Snyder, Michael Fitzpatrick, and Lauren Hollander. Another big conversation is language and logos. Language is symbol, sign, and image all at once. Many creation stories say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or that the universe is made from sound. This conversation will be poets talking about words, sounds, and signs. The conversationalists include Coleman Barks, Ekiwa, James Flannery, and Heinz Insufinkel. At 4 p.m., there are more breakouts. All of the breakout times throughout Mythic Journeys have performances, workshops, and talks. On Friday, for instance, one of the performances during the breakout time is Ellen Kushner's Thomas the Rhymer. Then, at 7 p.m., we'll have the twilight opening of the main conference. It begins with a performance by Chung Liang Al Huang dancing with the music of concert pianist Lauren Hollander and cellist Michael Fitzpatrick. The performance also includes storytelling by Maureen Eke and Michael Mead. At 9 p.m., it's another one-man show by Charlie Bethel, this time Beowulf. It's called Of Marsh, Monster, and Mother. Then it's on into the night with dancing to live music and DJs. This is my favorite part. Come join us. And if that's not enough, Friday, June 9th is also our education conference. This includes The Big Story with Michael Mead, which starts in the morning, and then from 11 to 12:30 there are workshops and presentations for teachers. They include myth, metaphor, and music, heroic adventures and creative writing, where Rebecca Perkins and Sherry Kling join together as artist and English teacher to explore the role of the artist as an interpreter of events. Another education conference topic is the power of teaching creatively with Anne Osselhoff, the founder of Creating Pride. Then Jeanette Wachman will work with creative connecting through symbols. At 2 p.m. during the education conference, there'll be a big conversation which features Carolyn Dunn, Heinz Ensufenkel, Marilyn Tonder Hansen, and O.R. Melling about initiation into metaphor. At 4, it's Myth into Life, where Nancy Gibson and Mead Paladovsky bring 16 high school students for a blowout performance. Okay, now back to the main conference. On Saturday, June 10th, we're on fire. It's Fire Day, and we begin our early morning sessions with movement and dream sharing. At 9 a.m., it's the big story. The Guatemalan government is sending a Mayan delegation to Mythic Journeys, and on Saturday morning, they will perform a traditional fire blessing of the house. In this case, it will be our Mythic Journeys house. Their ceremony will be followed by a performance by David Gonzalez and Daniel Kelly called Mythologize. David Gonzalez weaves together two stories, Orpheus and Delgina, into a vision of the artist's heart. Performed to acclaim on Broadway and as a special project of the Smithsonian Institution, Mythologize is a passionate, theatrical, musical offering. At 11 a.m., we'll have more breakouts, and then we'll stop for lunch. At 2 p.m., we have more big conversations. And at 4, there are breakouts again, including the performances like Daisy and the Dreamtime, which is a multi-award-winning play about the first white woman initiated into Aboriginal Dreamtime. A question-and-answer session follows that, with Joseph Campbell's longtime friends and colleagues, Robert Walter, and the playwright, Lynn Kaufman. Other breakouts include The Handless Maiden, The Fire Inside, Founding the Future, Catching Fire, Imagination and Activism, and Illness as a Soul Journey with Jean Shinoda Bolin. At 7 p.m., it's twilight time, and on Fire Day, we'll hear Desire, a performance by Deepak Chopra and Coleman Barks of ecstatic poetry and the spontaneous fulfillment of desire. Then, internationally renowned classical pianist Lauren Hollander performs Fire and Ice. Atlanta's beloved Radio Theater Company performs Neil Gaiman's mind-bending radio play Snow Glass Apples, and then Emerald Rose, a high-powered Celtic rock ensemble, will knock your socks off, and you can dance. Okay, ready for the last day? On Sunday, June 11th, that's the Day of Water, we'll begin with our early bird sessions of movement and dream sharing. At 9 a.m., it's the big story, and Julia Tsetse Chingamba and her partner Duncan Allard will perform a Shona dancing water ritual with master storyteller Michael Mead weaving his words through Julia's dancing. Michael's stories are about Sophia, Luna, and water. At 11 a.m., it's breakouts and then lunch, and at 2, there'll be more big conversations. At 4 p.m., we have our closing ceremony with Deepak Chopra, Gail Ross, Carolyn Dunn, and a host of others, including you. Now that you've heard what I have to say about Mythic Journeys, let's hear what other people have to say. First, we'll listen to Sabanfu Somme. Sabanfu was raised in the West African Dagara tribe. She is the author of The Spirit of Intimacy, Ancient African Teachings in the Ways of Relationships, Welcoming Spirit Home, and Falling Out of Grace, What We Learn About Life's Challenges.
I participated in the Mystic Journey and I very much enjoyed it. I especially enjoyed the diversity in the people and in the subject that were presented, and as well as the dedication of the organizer and of the people who were there, not just to participate in yet another conference, but to really find more meaning and deeper sense of why we are there. And the participants have been completely open and really ready to dig for information and to really use them in their everyday life. So that aspect alone made me so happy to be there, because it's not at all the conferences that when you go that people are even interested. You know, sometimes they just come because they're bored with their life, or they're really coming out of just curiosity. But these people were not there for curiosity. They were there because they see that Mystic Journey is taking them on a path that is leading to something more fulfilling and more enlivening. That is the part that I enjoyed the most at Mystic Journey.
This is what Saban Fusome said about her grief ritual at Mythic Journeys in 2004.
I really believe that the grief ritual is something that we are all in need of, whether we are conscious of it or not. And of course, bringing it to a mystical conference, it really touches down our root, all the areas where we have been hiding grief or hiding them, or nicely compartmentalizing them and putting them away. Because the energy of the myth or the mythic conference just bring everything alive. And so being able to offer the grief ritual for all these participants was like taking them back to the place where everything is meaningful, and where even your sadness has meaning. Your grief is not just, you know, another session of whining, but it is really that there is something bigger that is happening. And it's not just to you, it is to the collective. And I think when people especially understand that the grief that they are experiencing is not just their grief, that sometimes it is the grief of the collective, or that sometimes they are being the voice to something that they might not even be conscious of at the moment. And to take it to a place that they realize that, yes, we were all born knowing how to grieve, and we have been educated away from that. And to grieve is to reclaim one's freedom. To grieve is to be able to say yes to life again. To grieve is to purify one's soul. And I think people just resonated with that. And it was very exciting for me to see that I didn't have to go on a commercial to convince people about the need to grieve, and that once they got the Mystic Journey, they were very ready for it.
Saban Fu also had important things to say about community and the community of myth created at Mythic Journeys.
I really believe that the community is there. One of the challenges we are probably facing is that a lot of time we would like to see community as something that apply themselves in people who are isolated in some, you know, God-forsaken place like a tribe somewhere in Africa and so forth. But really, we are interested in myth. We are in the community of myth, and when we begin to acknowledge that, then we are going to be able to basically be able to see the community and all its ramifications. You know, and much like, for instance, the community in my village. You know, there is a community of the village, the community of the tribe, and the global community, and so forth, and all these different rim or ring of communities that we are a part of. You know, sometimes you may not see, you know, other people who are far away in their tribe somewhere, you know, like 100 miles away, but some important event would bring them together, you know, much like the Mystic Journey conferences, where we all gather together and we see each other. It's like a yearly ritual that we must do if we are going to keep that very thing within our community alive. So we get together and we share in spirit, and then we take from that spirit, you know, it's like taking the flame from that community, and you take it back to your home community, and you nurture that flame, and you breathe into it, and you feed it, and you make sure that it stays alive as long as possible. And when it's beginning to dwindle down again, you got to go back to the Mystic Conference the next year so that you can have it be lit even stronger again.
This is what being at Mythic Journeys meant to her.
For me, being at Mystic Journey is like being at a tribal party, and I am looking forward to seeing everyone who has been coming for all those years, some that I know and all the ones that I don't know. I'm looking forward to meeting them. I am particularly interested in meeting, not just particular teachers, but I'm interested in being able to connect with all the teachers who are coming for the purpose of being able to have elders for myself, and as well as to be able to share and to learn and so forth. So I am excited, and I'm hoping that everybody's going to come join us in being in a mythical world, as well as learning how to apply myth in our life in a way that works for us.
Another one of our presenters this year will be the charming Peter Beagle. He is the author of the fantasy classic The Last Unicorn. His latest work, Summer Long, will be released this year. Peter was at our last Mythic Journeys conference, and he'll be returning in June. Let's listen to what Peter has to say about myth.
Well, when people think of myths, if they make, you know, follow the notions, because they're thinking of the Greek myths that they were taught in school, and the Ray Harryhausen movies based on loosely on Greek myths, but, and I was raised on that stuff too, but what's more important than any legend of Hercules or Zeus or Athena is the impulse to make myths, which is probably one of the oldest in human beings, and that is the same, it's the same root as religion. It's obviously been said, one person's religion is somebody else's mythology, depends on from what angle you're looking at it. But I take myths very seriously, even when it's simply a basic American myth that John Wayne won World War II, when in fact he wasn't anywhere near anybody's battlefront. He stayed home and made movies. But that's not important. What's important is that if you asked, surveyed the entire American population, about a good 60% or more believe that John Wayne was involved in World War II. And that's the point. The myth may get at some deeper truth. It's not true on the surface. It's not true that Hercules wiped out his own family in a fit of madness and then had to atone for it by doing 12 labors. That's not important as a fact by itself, but it has a good deal to do with madness and atonement, and that's something that human beings have had cause to know a good deal about. It's always the thing underneath. It's not the surface story of the myth. It's the relevance underneath to what human beings are and what they do.
This is what Peter said about his delightful experience at Mythic Journeys in 2004.
The first Mythic Journeys I went to, I was thrown together with a guy I'd never met, Jim Flannery, and I'm not sure either of us knew what was expected of us, so we just sat in front of an audience and talked and sang, and it turned out to be such a delightful thing to do that we hung around together for the rest of the conference, and we've been friends ever since. He's a folklorist and the head of the Yeats Project at Emory University. And so we passed the time singing old Irish songs and telling stories about the Irish theater. Remember two other things. One is there was a very nice bartender, nice lady bartender in the hotel who bought me a beer, which I take very seriously. I can't think of another bartender who bought me a beer. And I'm forever running into the illustrator, artist, Brian Froud. We see each other very irregularly, but at Mythic Journeys, I remember coming around the corner, running into Brian, whom I haven't seen for 20 years at that time, gave me a quick look and said firmly, "You owe me money." And then we went off and had a beer. So on the whole, I've enjoyed Mythic Journeys.
O.R. Melling will also be a presenter at Mythic Journeys. She is the author of The Chronicles of Faerie, which includes the award-winning title, Hunter's Moon. Her new book, Summer King, is being released this spring. This is what O.R. said about what she will bring to the conference and also what drew her to the conference.
I'm just totally excited about the idea. I will probably be talking about the fairy faith myself and fairies and telling fairy stories and reading from my books, The Chronicles of Faerie. I think that's what I have to bring to the great table. And I know myself, I'm just looking forward to, there are so many people coming to it that I love and admire, but I've never met, and that would be Brian and Wendy Frood, Charles DeLint, David Spangler of Findhorn, a community that I have visited, Robert Bly, whose poetry I love, Terry Windling, whose stories I love. So it's just, it just looks like the most magical, amazing week that anyone could spend, and I can't wait to get there.
Some people wonder why myth is important. Let's listen to O.R. Melling as she reads from her book, Northern Magic, a Canadian journal. To set the stage, it's 3 o'clock on a cold November morning. O.R. stands on a snow-covered road outside Yellowknife in the Northwest Territory of Canada's subarctic. The temperature is 20 degrees below zero. The aurora borealis shimmers over her head. These dazzling lights become her metaphor for myth.
As I watch the celestial dance above me, my soul shivers in response. To my mind come the questions asked in a favorite poem, the Sufi masterpiece known as the Parliament of the Birds. Are you or are you not? Have you the taste of your existence or do you not? Are you within the country or on the border? Are you mortal or immortal? The Inuit people of Canada's far north say that the lights of the aurora borealis are the spirits of their dead playing football across the frozen sky. It's a myth, you might say. Of course, nowadays, when we say something is a myth, we mean it's a lie. It's just a myth. But once upon a time, a myth was a profound truth, a universal tale that emerged from the psyche of our race. It was the way we understood who we were in relationship to the cosmos, the way we placed ourselves on the map of that mysterious territory called life. So how did our soul stories, our cosmic truths, become lies? The word myth has been degraded to the status of a lie because the sacred stories themselves have been degraded in a world that views matter as the prime or sole reality. Artists often attempt to redress the balance in what Yeats called the rise of the soul against the intellect. And so too do Jungian psychologists, and surprise, the odd scientists. The chief reason Alfred Russel Wallace, the other founder of the theory of evolution, is not remembered today with his fellow Englishman Charles Darwin lies in the fact that he spent the last part of his life as a spiritualist. Wallace believed that a metaphysical force entered evolution at three different times in our planet's history, at the beginning of life on Earth, at the beginning of consciousness, and at the beginning of civilized culture. There are modern-day scientists who also sound like mystics. The Nobel physicist Carlo Rubbia maintains that only a billionth part of the world is matter. The rest is energy, And is myth not the language we use to describe the reality of that energy and all its many parts? The truth's out there, dancing in the north across the sky of stars, luminous, numinous, multitudinous, living, glorious. We are spirit as well as matter. We are part of a story much greater than ourselves.
Now that you've heard why some of our presenters want to be at Mythic Journeys, here are some reasons you will want to attend. First of all, Mythic Journeys is an extraordinary program and creative environment with a plethora of engaging people that will stimulate your imagination. You will have invigorating and intimate conversations with living legends, including artists, authors, spiritual teachers, activists, journalists, scholars, and business leaders. You will experience the wisdom that comes with understanding yourself as the hero in the context of your life story. By learning to find your story and understanding its context, you will discover more meaning in your life and gain the freedom to navigate your own course. Along the way, you will be blessed with the opportunity to make lasting friendships and become part of a living community that you always hoped existed. Finally, you will be touched by elegant thought, the experience of empathy, and the beauty of music, wisdom, and wit. A variety of forms and venues abound, including concerts, dances, theatrical performances, and parties. For a few days, our community will gather and then return home laden with wealth. To find out more about Mythic Journeys and to register, please visit our website at mythicjourneys.org or call Brenda Sutton at 404-832-4127. That's 404-832-4127. If Brenda isn't available, please speak with Dennis Papp, our registration director, at 678-637-3297. 678-637-3297. Both Brenda and Dennis will be happy to help you. Mythic Imagination is a production of the Mythic Imagination Institute. The sound designer for Mythic Imagination is Brad Barnett. Special thanks to Creative Digital Group for the generous use of their studio. Find them on the web at creativedigitalgroup.com. The producer of Mythic Imagination is Donna Barnett. Our musical introduction is by Jeffrey Armus. He can be found on the web at geoffreyarmes.com, jeffreyarmus.com. It was an honor hosting a few of our Mythic Journeys presenters tonight. O.R. Melling can be found on the web at www.ormelling.com. Please visit Sobhanfu Somme on the web at sobhanfu.com. That's SOBONFU.com. Peter Beagle can be found on the web at conlanpress.com, CONLAN Press, PRESS. Thank you so very much for listening. We'd love to hear your insights and suggestions. Please email them to info@mythicjourneys.org. Tonight, we'll leave you with a lively song by Emerald Rose called Come to the Dance. The song was featured in the Sony Pictures release Ringers, Lord of the Fans, a major motion picture documentary about the influence of the work of J.R.R. Tolkien on popular culture and music. This song is also featured in the film Done the Impossible, a feature documentary about the making of Joss Whedon's movie Serenity, based on his television series Firefly. Please find Emerald Rose on the web at www.emeraldrose.com. This American Celtic rock band will keep you shaking all night at Mythic Journeys. So, come to the dance.
in a circle, dance to the earth and your soul attune. Come with the sing for the love of the mother, sing with the voice of the rising moon. Come to the dance we do for the old ones, dance into space and time apart. Send up the call to those who will hear it, arise all you of a pagan heart. We will go to the rhythm of the pounding night, so we flow from darkness into light. We may dream from awakening into trance, so it seems when we all come to the dance. I come to the dance, we step in a circle, dance to the earth and your soul attune. Come with the sing for the love of the mother, sing with the voice of the rising moon. Come to the dance we do for the old ones, dance into space and time apart. Send out the call to those who will hear it, arise all you of a pagan heart. We will go to the rhythm of the pounding night, so we flow from darkness into light. From awakening into trance, so it seems, as we all come to the dance.
Mythic imagination, every life is a story, and a story can change the world. See you on June 7th in Atlanta at Mythic Journeys, a conference and performance festival like no other.